And next up, it's Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'll be with you for 2 hours this May 4th. And I hope you'll be with me. This is a recorded show, but recently recorded. And if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, or commendations, call me at 423-4833, 423-4833, and I'll get back to you. You're tuned to 101.3 FM, freakradio.org, Santa Cruz Pirate Radio.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
So, as regular listeners may know, because we don't have a studio, our broadcasters are falling by the wayside, or at least they aren't. I don't know if they're doing as many new shows as they used to. I don't think they are. In fact, I know some aren't. So I myself am also getting wearied, and that may be, it may account for the, some may find the quality or the substance of these shows repetitive. I think it's really important to get people's voices out, but I'm also aware that it can have a very familiar ring when, unfortunately for folks outside, the lament is pretty much a repeated one. I tend to focus on organizations that are directly working to challenge the whole structure of the criminalization of the homeless. That's going to be a focus, I hope, of the upcoming May 9th protest. Freedom Sleep Out 96 next Tuesday at City Council will be the center of that action. It's going to start, as perhaps some of you already know, at 3:30 at the county courthouse. Move at 4 to the post office, where the historic, newly redecorated chain-link fence that is intended to, you would think, keep homeless people away from the eaves of the building there so that they get a more rigorous kind of discipline sleeping out in the cold. I mean, you know, who wants them sleeping out of the rain? That would be the kind of a luxury you don't want homeless people to have. And then the march will go to City Hall to coincide with oral communications at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, May 9th. And folks are invited, of course, to bring sleeping bags and tents and tarps and bathrobes, teddy bears, nightgowns, nightwear, because, there's some rumor that folks are going to sleep inside the city council chambers in order to, catch a few winks before it becomes illegal to sleep. Because, as you know, after 11 o'clock at night, it becomes illegal to sleep on any public property in Santa Cruz, and also in many private places as well. It's also illegal to sleep in your vehicle if it's parked on any public property. And it's illegal to set out bedding, or, if you will, cover up with a blanket after 11 o'clock at night. In addition to that, of course, if you dare to stand outside City Hall with a sign at 10:01, you can be arrested. Although you will get, I think, a half an hour grace if the city council is going late, because they don't want to be accused of violating the Brown or Public Meetings Act. They don't mind violating the Constitution the rest of the time, but it doesn't do to be too obvious about your criminal conspiracy to deprive poor people, and in fact, indeed, the whole Santa Cruz community of its rights, and put those powers into the hands of a small oligarchy led by the city manager, Martin Bernal. Yeah, again, I emphasize it is not the city council that has primary power here, although it is the city council that could, if it wanted to, rein in the power of Martin Bernal, the city attorney. To do so on an institutional basis in a permanent way would require some changes in the city charter, I imagine. But city council could make some legal changes short of that, and they could subject the city manager to real scrutiny, real public scrutiny. But that has never, ever been done, either under this city manager or his predecessor, Dick Wilson. It's true also for the city attorney, Tony Condotti, and for his predecessor, John Barisoni. Protest will, on May 9th, come to City Hall, and they will talk at the 5 o'clock oral communications, which Mayor Chase has squeezed into 2 minutes per speaker with a maximum of 30 minutes, which means there will be really room for only 15 speakers, unless people insist upon more time, as they did on February 14th, when the mayor, actually it was the vice mayor, but the acting mayor, David Chirazes, tried to cut off the discussion of the raids, the Chief Vogel's collusion with the raids on the Beach Flats community and other immigrants and non-immigrants, residents in the Santa Cruz area. A whole variety of organizations supporting this rally, and you're going to be hearing more about it this weekend at various events that are coming up. I believe currently, of course, there's an occupation. And lest I be accused of politically incorrect language, it's been called a reclamation of Kerr Hall, I believe it is, up on UCSC. That's actually, well, I don't know whether that's still going to be the case when this is being broadcast. I'm doing a kind of a pre-broadcast recording, as I mentioned before, because we don't have a studio, and so we can't really broadcast live in the way that we are want to and we hope to do. We can pay for a studio, and we will pay you $500 if you find us a 10x10 space, indoors or outdoors, that we can use as a studio, access to electricity and internet and bathroom. But right now we don't have one. But if you have any ideas, 423-4833. Again, this march, which is going to end up at City Hall at 5 and then presumably stay there for the night, indoors, outdoors, or in both places for all I know, is being billed as a kind of a large community event. I'm going to read a little bit about it. You can find more on Santa Cruz Indie Media, and flyers are being distributed by Food Now Bombs and other student groups. But here's what I've got. Activist Steve Plaich, who originated a thing called the Homeless Legal Persons Assistance Project, which you can reach him and find out more about that group by calling 466-6072. He has written a brief article in the Street Spirit newspaper, which should be coming out shortly up in Berkeley and Oakland in the Bay Area. The article, which I've seen an advanced copy of, is called Houseless Activists in Santa Cruz Issue Call to Conscience. And I'm going to read some of that. Houseless activists in Santa Cruz, in part emboldened by the recent large marches and rallies around resistance to the policies of the Trump administration, are banding together to organize a major march in support of the houseless residents of the community. The Housing for All, No Penalty for Poverty rally and march is set for May 9th and brings together shelter, housing, rent control, and anti-sleeping ban activists across a broad spectrum, says organizer Rabbi Philip M. Posner, who spent 39 days in jail in Mississippi in 1961 as part of the civil rights movement. I view this as a call to conscience for the entire community. A legal place to sleep is a human right. Criminalizing the homeless amounts to penalizing people for being poor. Posner and his son Micah plan to sleep out at City Hall after the demonstration in solidarity. They are inviting people with or without and without homes to bring sleeping bags and join them in the unsanctioned act of sleeping on public property. It's not clear whether they're going to be sleeping on the sidewalk, which is where the freedom sleepers have traditionally slept, or under the more protected areas under the city council eaves, which is frequently become you become a target if you do that of the police and their allies, their whether it's rangers or security guards or city employees, because you're violating the park closed law, where the head of the Parks and Rec opportunistically declared the whole area a park in order to give rangers and police an excuse to drive people away without the nasty implication that they were giving them tickets for sleeping and so denying them that basic human right. Rather, they were just saying, you can't be here. You can go somewhere else and get another ticket, but you can't be here. Steve Plaich's story continues. The march and rally will begin at the Santa Cruz County Courthouse at 3:30 and march to the downtown post office, the site of several recent actions protesting cyclone fencing that has been installed around the building, severely restricting the area used every weekend by Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs to feed hundreds of local houseless residents. Marchers will then proceed to City Hall, where activists will address the Santa Cruz City Council. The march and rally is centered on four key demands. One, an increase in available emergency shelter bed spaces. Two, affordable housing for all. Three, an end to the sleeping camping ban. And four, an immediate freeze on rental increases that have worked to drive a wedge between city residents and students. Says organizer and former city council member Micah Posner, while the federal government continues its efforts to eradicate the social safety net, the cost of housing in Santa Cruz continues to rise. He should know. He charges over $1,000 for, or did, for the tenants who are living in his backyard area. Not his backyard, but in a small structure there, with access to a bathroom, it has to be said, and access to a shared kitchen. Says organizer and former city council member Micah Posner, this creates an unstable situation locally and leaving many of our poorest residents without homes. Local action to reduce the cost of housing and provide homes for all is long overdue. The recent closure of the seasonal AFC Emergency Winter Shelter Program has left many houseless residents without any alternative but to camp out in violation of the local sleeping camping ban. Sherry, last name withheld to avoid persecution by city officials, has been sleeping at City Hall for a week, actually now it's more like 2 or 3 weeks, since the winter shelter closed. At least here, she says, I feel a little bit safer. It's public and there are people around. Plus, I like supporting other people who are in the same situation as me, without any legal place to sleep. Since Max doesn't have another place to sleep anyway. His nightly presence at City Hall is also a political statement. Quote, I want them to see me here in the morning. I want them to see homeless people here until they do something about it. We need to be strong and visible. The continuous Tuesday night protest at City Hall by the Freedom Sleepers, now in its 94th week, and of course we're on to week 95 come May 9th, has inspired dozens of houseless residents to begin sleeping on the sidewalk in front of City Hall every night. Called the Survival Sleepers, this group now constitutes the front line of activism in which the houseless community is taking the lead. Event organizer and Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, co-founder Robert Norris, is calling for nightly support for the sleepers. Quote, and this is actually not my quote, this is, I think, Steve imagining what I might say. I'm not necessarily being too far off the mark. It has always been about members of the houseless community standing up for themselves and taking action against the machine that criminalizes them for simply being. As houseless activists, we are in awe of their courage and determination in the face of so much injustice. Our planned action in solidarity with them is in solidarity with them, as it should be. And the only thing I'd say about that creative quote that Steve did is the reason I call them the Survival Sleepers is because while they're interested in protesting the sleeping ban, they're also interested in staying out of the rain and having some kind of community together and having somebody around when they want to walk away to use the bathroom to watch their stuff, which doesn't always work very well, but does at other times. And so that I call them the Survival Sleepers because it has really, it's more than just a matter of a middle-class protest or even homeless protest. It's a matter of survival. And again, Plaich concludes, the Housing for All, No Penalty for Poverty March and Rally, May 9th, Santa Cruz County Courthouse Steps, 3:30 p.m., Downtown Post Office, 4 o'clock, Santa Cruz City Hall, 5 o'clock, Sleep Out Overnight, is an article that should be appearing in the May issue of Street Spirit, which hopefully will be out on Friday. And the name of this is Houseless Activists in Santa Cruz, Issue Call to Conscience, and it's by activist Steve Plaich. The end of the month is when the most hungry people gather at the free meals, and here's the April 30th, my visit to the Food Not Bombs Sunday meal, and a few of the interviews there. I'm here at the Food Not Bombs meal, and I'm talking with that man about classical music.
Ramanan.
I don't know if you, anything, you've been down here more recently.
Oh, yes, I good thing volunteer to chop vegetables. They need the help. And,
well, there's quite a line of cooks or servers. I'm counting 5, 10, maybe 13, 14 servers here today.
It's good.
It's the last day of the month.
It's all good. I mean, just as like, if you want to find out what's happening, you should come here first.
You should come here second or third, at least.
Yeah, at least, political, food-wise. Whoever would suspect that potatoes were politically active?
Some of the couch potatoes are politically inactive, but that's another story.
We're going to chop them up and put them into the big wok.
We will all be chucked,
just into the front.
Walking potatoes.
Yeah, and just make sure you're done on all sides. We don't want any
underdone potatoes.
That's right, infectious disease.
True enough. We've been talking with the cuisinary Romanov. You've given us the thoughts. Thank you. I heard that. With
Satya.
And you are claiming that you are a raging and a granny, or a raging granny?
Well, I'm actually neither. I'm not a granny, or I'm not really raging, but I like to sing.
That again?
Oh, well, I'm not really raging or a granny, but I like to sing.
Are you having any use to grace us with any quick tunes?
Oh, no, but I'll tell you, Jan just wrote a new one today to the tune of Hey Jude.
So, and how does it go?
Well, I don't know the words, but...
Of course, the Raging Grannies are a group that often sings at political events in Santa Cruz. Mostly women over the age of 60. They sometimes include a man or two, and even a young chicken or two. But I even have joined them on one occasion or another. But they also travel to different places, and their rage takes musical form. I don't have any of their music here for you now, but let's hear more of what we're talking about anyway.
You come down to the post office on...
Hey, welcome to the Huda Bombs meal.
You guys.
With...
My name is Ruslan.
And you are from?
Kazakhstan.
And your name is?
Nazar.
And you are from?
From Ukraine, sir.
And you, your name is?
I'm Maksha, I'm from India.
And you all stop by the Food Not Bombs table to find out what's cooking, so to speak. And this is your first Food Not Bombs experience in, or is this, you've been here Food Not Bombs before?
I heard about the organization in my political activism class in De Anza College, and I decided I might as well get involved, as well as sharing ideas with the anarchists. I thought I could help.
And how about you, sir?
I heard just about right now. Just right now, yeah.
You just got dragged into it.
It's like that.
Heard it over here. And what about you, sir? How did you hear about Food Not Bombs?
Oh, I heard it from my friend. This is my first time in the U.S., so I guess it might be good. So
now, I mean, most poor people in the United States could not afford to go to any of the countries you're from. How is it you three have the money to get over here?
Actually, my parents are sponsoring me.
Gotcha.
So, like,
what did your father and mother do?
They're a businessman.
Okay. What about you from Ukraine?
I'm supported by the bourgeoisie sponsor from Egypt. He's a nice guy, but I think his ways are not right, the way he made this money. But I hope...
And you're living off of it, though.
I am, but I'm... It's worth it, right? Because I can actually... do something about it later on, but right now I'm dependent on him. But we're here to support the downfall of capitalism in the U.S.
Does your sponsor know this?
I'm not going to tell him that.
I won't either. And what about you, sir?
My father has business in America about IT technologies, about computers. But right now I'm independent child, and like I live by myself, and just it's a good time for me.
How long have you been in? Are you just visiting Santa Cruz for the day, or have you been here for a while?
I was being here for a while.
What's your impression of Santa Cruz?
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
And your impression of Santa Cruz?
It's one of the most gorgeous places I've seen in the world, I guess. I haven't been to that many places, but this is just a paradise.
What about the people here?
You're awesome folks, so I guess everybody here is like that. There's no need to be mean here because everything is just so...
As long as you have money, everything is okay.
True. True, sir. But there are those who are not as
fortunate
as we are. Exactly, exactly.
People over there, for instance.
Absolutely, sir. Agreed.
And what about you? What do you think of the cruise here?
Oh, it's really beautiful. Like, this is my first time here.
People, what do you think?
Oh, they're very helpful. Yeah, that's all I can say.
I appreciate it. I'll give you, this little brief bit will be on free radio probably on Thursday night. I'll give you a card. It's archived in case you want to hear it later. Not that we have anything momentous that we've talked about, but
absolutely.
Anything you want to pass on to, or questions you have, or whatever, to me or the community?
I'd like to address the community and say that it's a good idea to unite right now, because this is a dire time and people need to get together and actually do something instead of thinking about our differences. We need to think more about what's in common.
So have you done similar organizing in the Ukraine?
Yes, absolutely. I'm one of the lead journalists for the anarchist community in Ukraine.
Any death threats yet?
No, sir. We're pretty sneaky and we're anonymous.
I see. So luckily, you were anonymous, of course, until I took your picture and sent it to the government.
Maybe that already happened for all. Well, I'm here now.
You've gotten away for the moment. Yep. But we have our eye on you.
Well, at least you're the good people.
Little do they know.
Right? Perhaps NSA has an eye on us too, you know.
Anything you'd like to say?
I will support my friend's words about like people have to more communication with each other. And I feel like the best way from like, it's help to each other. I mean like, for people.
Makes sense to me. Anything you'd like to say?
What do you want me to say about it?
Anything you want. Or nothing, as the case may be. Either way.
I don't know what to talk about, so I guess I can close here right now.
You're speechless.
So, yeah.
Right on. And we've been talking with?
No, it's Akshay.
And with?
Nazar.
And?
Ruslan.
Thank all three of you.
Thank you very much.
With?
James.
James, you say you just came back from the Dominican hospital.
They're completely useless.
Tell me about the accommodation.
Not existent. No water, no aspirin, nothing.
How many hours were you there?
I don't know. A lot.
And your reason for going there was?
I think I have a broken hip.
And what time did you go in, more or less?
Yesterday afternoon.
And what happened after you went in? Give me a blow-by-blow if you want.
Well, they discharged me at 10 o'clock.
In the morning?
At night.
At night?
Yeah, and the buses weren't running anymore.
And what did they do during that period of time that was medical, if anything?
Took my blood pressure.
Charming. And how long did you have to wait for that to happen?
A couple hours.
But did you meet any interesting people in the waiting room?
No, I didn't meet anybody, really. And they discharged me at 10 o'clock at night. I went back at 5 in the morning and complained about, no x-rays, no MRIs, nothing. Nothing.
What did they say to you when you presented your concern?
I wanted to know what they do there.
Do-do is what they do there.
They had absolutely nothing. Nothing. I couldn't even get a glass of water out of them. And they kept asking me, are you homeless? And I'm like, I have a broken pelvis or something. I don't know. What does that have to do with anything?
Did you forget the names of any of these interrogators?
No, but their security guard was really not nice. I asked him what he was... Is he going to call 911? So, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm in a shitload of pain. All my stuff got stolen out of my stroller while I was in the hospital.
Where was your stuff kept?
I found it at City Hall, but... The guy at the Little Red Church called an ambulance for me because it was hard to walk. And impossible to walk.
You look like you're in pain right now as you're sitting on the steps of the post office in front of the
sitting
forbidden fence.
I like sitting down. Sitting down's fine. I had a broken pelvis about 35 years ago and had 3 months of recuperation. And this might be flaring up again. It might be fractured again. So I'm...
You know, my invention actually came out.
Huh?
I'm watching a girl play my invention.
And I ran into James, the man who had these Dominican hospital experiences, the next Wednesday. And he was overjoyed because he had his cart full of his property, his personal possessions, had apparently been secured by someone, either a mental health worker or a social service worker, and then, I may have this wrong, was returned to the Red Church where he picked it up some days later. So yeah, these stories don't always have an unhappy ending, but too frequently they do. Let's hear some more.